When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We're coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening? I love that music, man. I love that music when we're in a city that has a relevant, good football team.
Yeah. It's a lot more fun than when it's...
playoff football team.
Yeah. Better than when it's like COVID era, late 2020.
Scouting quarterbacks.
Playing in an empty grain silo. Right. Like, oh, there's that music I used to remember being relevant.
Yeah. In another time and place... like 2 years ago, you and I would have been super psyched for this weekend because there would have been four college football games for us to scout quarterbacks in.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Ohio State's one of the teams playing. We would have been like, oh, C.J. Stroud is hosting Tennessee in a playoff game. And we'd have been looking, ooh, I like that. I like that.
I'll tell you,
Quinn Ewers, you know, I'm going to watch him in this game, see if maybe the Texans. We don't need to do that.
You know what,
anymore.
Though? I'm a little bit jealous of the various fan bases that are going to be debating whether they want Shedeur Sanders and or Deion, and whether they want to. Is Deion the right fit? Is he not? That, with the Texans and the McNairs and everything else around it, that would be fascinating.
It would have been fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm happy to sit in the stands for this one, the Shedeur Sanders Deion experience. It's going to be fun to watch and see what happens. But this weekend's good. Man, tomorrow's a great day of football, man. And it includes the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs. And we got kicked off last night with a good one, man. Chargers and Denver Broncos last night. So I was a little fatigued. We had our building, the building I live in, had their Christmas party for the tenants in the building.
Yeah.
And
I'm just thinking of the difference between you and me. And obviously you attended, right?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I had a few beverages.
You're so good about being sociable.
I'm a man about town.
Yeah.
Well, when there's free food free drinks. Yeah,
and strangers that are happy to talk to you.
I actually stuck to the people I know in the building.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't
you guys
go walking
around. Click off
we did,
the
actually,
corner.
Kind of off to the
all
side.
The cool kids are over there.
I don't know who the cool kids, but I was not walking around the room. But the food and the drink were excellent, and I bring this up only because we got back up to our apartment at like 8:30. The game had started already, so I'm watching the Chargers and the Broncos. And as happens sometimes when I have a few, and I'd gotten up at 4 a.m, you know, that day, I drifted off into a little bit of, you know, started copping some Z's, started sawing some wood on the chair there, and I'm kind of drifting in and out of sleep. And at one point I wake up and the Chargers are lined up doing a free kick.
Yeah.
Right before the half. And I'm like, what universe am I in right now? What are they doing?
You're probably right. And if you're seeing it, even if you know how the free kick works and everything, it's just, you're looking at, if you're waking up, you're looking at something that looks like it's a kickoff.
Yeah.
But wonder, like, what? Yeah, it would not make any sense at all.
It looked like a kickoff. And I'm like, they're supposed to be lined up way down there, all the gunners and everything. What's going on? It was like a fever dream. And then Dicker kicks the ball, and all of a sudden the Chargers have three more points. I'm like, what am I watching here? Mm-hmm. For those who missed the game, right before the half, the Chargers exercised a very, very infrequently utilized rule where if you fair catch the ball, You can take a free kick from there to kick a field goal.
Right, and because there was interference and the fair catch, it was
it moved it into field goal range. Yeah, you never see the rule because when teams are punting, it normally doesn't wind up fair caught in field goal range.
Yeah, they're usually doing it. You know, they're aware of the rule as well, and they're trying to avoid any kind of opportunity for. So they had booted it out of field goal range.
They did.
But you can kick a hell of a long field goal when you don't have any rush in your face, and they can you can keep the ball low. You can just kick a line drive.
The other team has to stand 10 yards back from the kick. Now, there's a Texans tie to this whole thing. You know who committed the interference that set up this infrequently used free kick?
Who was that?
Tre'Mond Smith.
Oh.
Former Cully, Lovey era Houston. He might have even been on the team last year.
Yeah.
And part of that era of Texans football, man. He was one of those guys like, hey, maybe there's something to this Tre'Mond Smith guy who's been on four teams.
So the two teams last night, obviously relevant to the Texans because they might face them, either one of them going into that game. I still fear the Chargers more than I would have the Broncos.
Based purely on the quarterback.
I mean, just based on the quarterback. Yeah. And Bo Nix has come along and done really well, but there's still an element to the Chargers and their ability to use play action, which is still at times an issue for the Texans. Like Herbert's ability to use play action and just actually run that offense the way Harbaugh's running it. And that the Broncos defense is just, they've shown their warts. You know, they're not as good as of late as they were through the first part of the season.
Yeah, I guess that would be the incentive for the three seed. You've been more about the seeding than I have. I'm just like, okay, if they're the four, they're the four. They're probably going to be the four. That is something, because I always think to the second round more about the seeding than the first round. But you're right, like, if you move up to the three, there's a better chance you get one of those two teams last night and not the leftover team from the AFC North. Like, the Steelers and Ravens are both better than those two teams last night and more dangerous than those two teams last night. So that's where the seeding comes in. So in watching that game last night, I'm like, all right, I get it now. Because to be honest with you, like, the four seed and the three seed, the way it lines up right now, the three seed would be going to Buffalo in the second round if the favorites all won.
Yeah.
And the four seed would be going to Kansas City. The one thing I want to avoid in this postseason, period, end of subject, is a trip to Buffalo. To play that team in that environment. Mm-hmm. That if I were power ranking like the list of like venues or situations I want to avoid in the postseason, going to Buffalo is number one on my list.
Caleb Williams had it was a funny piece in the press conference yesterday and or this week, and I feel like Caleb Williams, I have questions about him, and yet I do feel like he's kind of got a pretty funny sense of humor that sometimes people take too much as him speaking literally. So somebody asked him, you know, they asked him about playing in the cold, and he's like, I've played in cold weather before. I'll be all right. And he said, how cold is it going to be? And
no, it was Kyler Murray. It was Kyler Murray who said this.
It was?
Yes.
Oh,
and he said, oh, bleep.
Yeah.
It was Kyler Murray.
Okay, never mind.
I like
Kyler Murray's
I would say the same things about Kyler Murray that I would about Caleb Williams in a way. Like, that's, you know, like he's a little off kilter, you know, like we don't know.
Caleb was the one that was laying down on the bench this past weekend,
correct?
Right? I thought that was funny too.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think your take on Caleb Williams is applicable, but the thing you're about to say, we'll finish.
Stop listening to things on the radio.
Is that where you heard it?
Yeah, I heard somebody playing the clip, and I'm like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
Like, they bleeped out because he says anyway. To finish the story, Kyler Murray says bleep, that's cold. Or
Yeah. He's like, how cold's it going to be? And someone's like 35. He's like, oh, bleep. He said the S word. Yeah, like he realized. Yeah, that was. That was Kyler. I'd seen the video of that. That was good. I like Kyler Murray a little more now than I used to when I watched some of these press conferences. I wasn't a big Kyler Murray fan. Same way people aren't big Caleb Williams fans.
Well, Kyler Murray, I mean, the big question is, all right, let's see him in an actual pro offense. And, you know, the Kingsbury in Washington has
been high.
Right, but you're starting to see, like, okay, how come they don't, like, they're not moving McLaurin around or anything? Like, this offense, is this it? Really? Is this going to be it? And, like, the same story every year with Cliff Kingsbury. It's like, oh, boy, look at this. Best offense ever. And then about midway through the season, like, oh, all right, you're just kind of running the same stuff out there, eh? Expecting your players to do it all on their own.
Yeah, he's the favorite to get the Bears job right now, Cliff Kingsbury.
You should hire somebody who's never actually been a good head coach.
I'm sure if you heard, he used to work with Caleb Williams back
in the day
at USC. Yeah. So how did you feel when you saw Christian Harris wind up on the injury report yesterday out of nowhere?
I was upset.
Questionable, for those who haven't heard, questionable with an ankle injury. Had not been on the injury report all week. So, I mean, I guess, are we to assume this is something that popped up in practice? Like he turned an ankle in practice or something? I mean, he's not on the injury report all week, and all of a sudden, ow, my ankle.
I'm guessing, hurts. That would be the, it wasn't anything we noticed during the game or anything.
No, so. Every question about Christian Harris to D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio and any of his teammates have been, man, it's great to have him back. He looked great. And he did. He looked great out there. There was no indication in the game that he was campy at all.
So hopefully if it's a sprain that happened in practice, I'm guessing it's a relatively minor one. I'm not going to freak out about it.
I'll give you, okay, does this make you feel better about Christian Harris's ankle? He is the subject of the player spotlight on the pregame show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So he did an interview with Drew Doherty at some point in the last 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
Which does that make you feel any better?
He did an interview with Aaron Wilson like 24 hours before training camp started, and then we never saw him again. Wow. He just went into,
That's a good
point. I don't know if he was either. We still don't know if he was actually injured or if he was working for the CIA. It might have been one of those
that's
deals.
True.
Like
he wasn't around
very
much.
Needed him or something.
He was not around
I'll
very
open
much.
Up all possibilities for this.
Yeah. Good morning, guys. Have you all seen Charles and Menahue's comments about the Texans? We have. We'll have those for you later in the show.
We have to bleep those out, too.
Yeah, Ben's got a little legwork to do. I haven't sent it yet, Ben. Ben's looking around and they're like, do we get this Amenahu comments? Like, no. I haven't sent it to you yet. We just saw them this morning. So,
are you sure it was Charles Amenahu or was it perhaps?
I'm positive that it was.
Are you sure it wasn't Ronaldo Wynn?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Are you sure it wasn't Rasheem Green? No.
I'm almost positive it was John Matuszak.
Charles Amenahu, not a big fan of the Houston Texans.
No, he isn't. I wonder, that pains me a little bit, but I wonder how much of that is just, I wonder if he's not a fan of Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby more so than
anything
else. He
actually said in the interview he likes Bill O'Brien.
Yeah,
It was the era after O'Brien left.
It was when he was
at Easterby-Culley-ish year, you know?
If I were a player on that team when David Culley was running the show, I might have pulled the Justin Reed. I don't know. It was just a mockery of what an NFL team is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
It was just a joke.
Yeah. It's better now. Out for the game on Saturday, tomorrow, John Mechie, okay, Foley Fatakasi, Juice Scruggs, Cade Stover. Three of those four were expected. I guess all four were expected because none of them practiced this week.
Yeah.
But Mechie, you're getting a little further down the depth chart in the receiving core, I guess. We'd probably see Steven Sims active this week. But you're going in with Nico Tank. Robert Woods gets bumped up. Xavier Hutchinson's probably
more of
the deal.
Well, and the thing with Mechie is they'd like him to be a bigger part of the offense, but it's just he's still
gotta be reliable,
working his way into it. Yeah, between his hands and or not running the correct routes, it's not the solution right now. So that's not a huge loss, but maybe Xavier Hutchinson at some point becomes more of a factor. The two injuries for the Chiefs that are notable is Connor, their slot corner. He's out with his concussion.
Yep.
And then Humphreys, who they've been trying to work in as the third guy to play left tackle this year, DJ Humphreys, and he hadn't looked good anyway, but he's injured, which means likely Thuney, their left guard, is going to be the left tackle. And he did all right last week, but it was just it was a stumbling, bumbling, rumbling type of scrappy
and
effort.
It wasn't against Danielle Hunter or
Will Anderson.
It was
against Miles Garrett.
Oh, it was against Garrett. Okay.
So, no, and they gave him some help, but he did a pretty good job. But, it wasn't the ideal scenario.
Then
you've got a guard who'd started his first game at guard last week. There's some opportunity there for the defensive line.
For sure. I like that matchup. We'll dig into that. Let's do that. We'll do the six-pack in the next segment. Storylines, people, trends important to this game on Saturday, tomorrow. Noon kick. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. Seth and I will have you for Texans Countdown, starting at 9 a.m. So let's dig into that next. We'll dig into the game six-pack style coming up.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, D'Amico Ryans has the exact same view on this game against Kansas City and probably against the Ravens too, but he's only going to talk about Kansas City, as I'm feeling about this, which is, hey man, we've clinched our playoff spot. Let's go see where we stack up against the really good teams.
And so for us, being at the spot we're at right now in our season, like, what a matchup. We get to see, like, can we go match up versus one, the top team in the AFC, right? And hopefully get a chance to see them again later down the road. So that's how I'm looking at this matchup is, let's go see where we are. Let's improve as a team. And we may end up back in Kansas City again. Who knows? Let's go out and just play complimentary football. Don't make it more than what it is. Just stay steady, stay calm, and don't worry about the external factors we can't control. It's easy to get into that. You know, is Mahomes playing? Is he not? Who knows? We'll find out when they kick the ball off. The weather, what is it going to be? Is it going to be cold? Who cares? Like, this is playoff football right now. Right. So let's line up and let's see where we are.
Look, in a perfect world, this game would have there would have been a lot more at stake in this game had the Texans done what we expected them to do this year. And 9-5 is good. It's a good record. It's fine. They clinched a playoff spot. In a perfect world, and I'm guessing that the schedule makers probably thought similarly, this would be a game where there would be ramifications for the first round bye.
Yeah.
You know, the Texans would be 10-3 or 11-3 instead of 9-5 or something like that. So independent of that, that's not the case, obviously. The Texans can't get the one seed.
It does for the Chiefs, potentially.
It does for the Chiefs. And there's stakes for the Texans, too, as you and I talked about in the open, moving up to the three seed. There's benefit to that. But the position that they're in now, like, where this isn't, they don't have to win this game. You know what I mean? Like, they really can these next two games. It's truly just measuring stick kind of stuff. And then they're still going to be going to the playoffs.
This is where I am. And you know this. Drew Hodgson, my old Texans teammate, and I watched the offensive line in the run game yesterday. You know, because I was pleased with some things that I saw. Just more about I'm intrigued by Tytus Howard at left guard. Yeah. I thought he did some good things, both in the run game as a pass protector. They also still had a lot of issues at times in pass protection, particularly against games inside, that stuff. But in the run game, oh my gosh, I don't know how they're at this point where it's this late in the season, and there are guys that just flat out do not know who they're supposed to block on a play. And there's just too many instances where multiple guys, I mean, we had the old classic cluster bleep where you had three guys trying to block the same guy while two other guys ran free. The tight ends are just getting absolutely destroyed. I mean, obviously, Dalton Schultz especially. Laremy Tunsil took a step back in terms of physicality and what I was hoping for him. It was the worst circle of swarm I'd ever put anybody in.
Seth put Laremy in the circle of swarm last week.
I'm angry again. I'm angry that anybody would call it a lazy narrative that the offensive line was an issue this year. Because you're basically calling me an idiot. I can't watch this offensive line operate, and I'm supposed to be lazy for noticing it. I'm sorry that I realize that these guys don't know what the hell they're doing. That's all I want. Offensive linemen who know who they're supposed to block on any given play. It doesn't seem, is that an ambitious goal?
No,
I watched last night and I saw both teams doing it.
No, I see other teams doing it.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Oh.
Does someone get fired over this? Like, is there a change at the position coach at least?
I don't know. I mean, and honestly, sometimes when you talk about picking up the games inside.
Because it is very frustrating in week 16.
Well, a lot of it is. It's just basic fundamental stuff of guys, offensive linemen. You know, as much as possible, you want their shoulders to stay square to the line of scrimmage, parallel with the line of scrimmage. And these guys just turn like they're a revolving door, and that's how games get through. And it's basic. It's high school stuff. I don't get it.
Yeah. All right, let's get to this game. Let's dig in. Six-pack style. First can. Texans edge rush. There's a real opportunity here. You touched on the fact that Joe Tooney's going to be playing left tackle again. He's a guard playing tackle. And the Texans edge rush a couple games ago against Jacksonville kind of got shut out. Jacksonville. They got kind of shut out in that game.
Yeah.
They made some big plays against the Dolphins that showed up on the box score. I thought they did a good job of kind of making life uncomfortable for Tua, which is why Tua had such a bad game. But the big plays from Will Anderson, the strip sack fumble, the huge sack by Danielle Hunter towards the end of the game. There's opportunities here. And I think, especially going on the road, this is like one of those non-negotiable things, Seth. Like, mm-hmm. if they're going to win on the road at a place like Kansas City in the postseason, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson and company are going to need to show up.
I think, look, there's a lot of pressure on the pass rush, but still, even in doing that, it doesn't mean that when you're rushing four guys, they're always going to get there. The part that I get nervous about is Mahomes' ability to extend a play, whether his ankle is banged up or not. And that's where last week that wasn't going to be an issue for the Texans secondary, because Tua is going to get rid of the ball quickly no matter what. You know, I know that on the broadcast they're wondering if they'd hit them with some double moves or something at some point. That ball was coming out.
Right.
Mahomes isn't going to be like that. Mahomes will extend some plays, so there's more pressure on the secondary to, you know, it doesn't have to look like, hey, three interceptions. It just needs to be keeping in your zones, staying attached to your guys, let the guys up front do their job. But sometimes they don't get there immediately, so you just got to cover.
Yep.
Tua takes the snap. Tua with pressure, throwing downfield to his right, and intercepted. Stingley again. That's going to do it. The Texans are going to beat Miami. Stingley's second pick seals the deal. And Houston will get its ninth win.
All right, it may not need to be three interceptions, Seth, but it sure would be nice if they got three interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
The turnover train. The Texans have been turning other teams over at a rate that very few teams have been doing. They had I was looking at the season kind of game log, team stats. It's hard to believe. The Texans had a period of three games early in the season, Minnesota, Jacksonville, and Buffalo, where they didn't cause any turnovers
right,
in those games. They actually went 2-1 in those three games. Mm-hmm. They went three games without causing a turnover. They've caught up quickly from that three game. They've caused 25 turnovers since that game that stretch.
And I think that's where, when you look at Mahomes on the season, he's got 11 interceptions, and that's been one of the stories of the season. Nine of those came in the first half of the season. Over the last seven games, he's only got two interceptions, and they're both to the Bills.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because the Bills are stylistically kind of similar to the Texans in a lot of ways, and they can take the ball away a lot. So it's not like Mahomes, you know, all of a sudden cured his interception issues. I think he just hasn't faced a whole bunch of opportunistic defenses in the second half of the season. I'm very excited about that possibility.
Yes.
That would be with all my issues and concerns about the offense, the one remedy, the panacea for all that is, hey, just get a +3 turnover margin.
And especially if they set up short fields like the turnovers did this past game.
Yeah.
You know, the strip sack fumble set up a 28-yard touchdown drive. You know, the Kalen Bullock interception got them down to the 4-yard line. So, and I think they're going to need that. I don't have a lot of confidence that the Texans, in tough environments, weather should be good, but that's going to be a loud stadium on the road, good defense, not a great defense like last year, but a good defense, that they're going to be able to go 70 yards consistently.
Right,
10 plays, 70 yards. I don't think this is in them right now.
You know what? I guess maybe, you know, when Nick said it was a lazy narrative that the offensive line was struggling, Maybe what he meant, I guess the accurate way to put it would have been like, yeah, you're not ambitious enough in your scope. The tight ends are horrendous blockers, and the wide receivers really aren't very good either. They want to,
yeah,
but they're not.
They try.
They're not Deebo Samuel, you know, or those guys like that. They just aren't. It's the blocking in general.
The blocking in general.
Which is still a thing in the NFL.
No, for sure. I mean, I think everybody back when Nick said that earlier in the season, everybody including Nick would agree, something's wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, something's wrong.
So maybe in just blaming
not
it
all
as
O-line,
much on
maybe.
The O-line yeah. that you're... But yeah, no, but the problem is, okay, if it was just the tight ends, if it was the tight ends and the offensive line, say, yeah. but it's okay, but the tight ends aren't making up for it in the passing game
yeah.
either.
Yeah.
I barely know they exist at
yeah.
any given moment.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. All right, next one. The marquee matchup, like similar to Nico Collins versus Jalen Ramsey last week, which I don't know how to grade that matchup because Nico only had 17 yards, but he had two touchdowns. Nico versus McDuffie, versus Trent McDuffie. He's their best corner. He's their best guy in the secondary.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he follows Nico Collins around.
Yeah, that would make the most sense.
Yeah.
So with the Chiefs, the defense... This is not the same Chiefs defense as last year. Mm-hmm. Now, they looked really good last week. They took the ball away from the Browns six times. That was Jameis Winston's true moment where he turned back into a pumpkin.
Yeah, four picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was tough. That was tough.
And then probably sexually harassed the pumpkin.
I know. Jameis doesn't do that anymore.
He's changed, I know.
He doesn't do that anymore. He just...
I know,
gives
he
really
definitely
good pregame
doesn't.
Speeches.
Yeah, 100% doesn't. Yeah. So he's a perfect gentleman to all pumpkins. I've
right,
known that.
Right.
It's long been known. He's never stolen a pumpkin out of a grocery store.
Ever. Just crab legs.
But they're not the same defense that they were last year or right. at the beginning of the season, really. But they still are. They blitz a bunch there. But I'm curious about just how much they blitz was as banged up in the secondary as they are.
All right, let's get to the next one. Chris Jones. This is the guy who can wreck the game for the Texans. This is the same way we've talked about Jeffrey Simmons with the Titans, Micah Parsons with the Cowboys. I would say, you know, Josh Hines-Allen with the Jags is a little like that. But Chris Jones is elite, man. He is an elite interior defensive lineman. Here's C.J. Stroud on the problems Chris Jones causes.
His ability to get off the ball, you know, and... And, you know, they use their silent cadence really well, you know, able to hide it, you know, and he does a good job of using his hands. And I'm, you know, a big fan of his. He does a great job and has been doing it for a high level, you know, for a long time. And, you know, just pops out on film and, you know, makes a lot of plays for them. Even when he doesn't make the play, you know, he's taking on double teams, giving other guys one-on-ones and things like that. So, yeah, he does a really good job.
Yeah, this is the Jeffrey Simmons storyline again. It's, you know, Micah Parsons is going to beat you. It's off the edge. And you're like, all right, yeah. Well, we got Laremy Tunsil. And at the time, Titus Howard out there. They'll be – and they shut that. They did a good job against Micah Parsons. This is a test. Titus Howard, Jared Patterson, Shaq Mason, you're on notice right now.
Yeah, no, it's a big test.
Yeah.
Like, and they just haven't passed the test versus a dominant interior defensive line yet. I guess the one saving grace might be that they're not it's not as stacked. You don't have the combo of Simmons and Tavondre Sweat
yeah.
with the Titans, like neither of whom you could really move. It's that Chris Jones is such a stud that at the very least you can focus in on him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The other big one is just Karlaftis versus Blake Fisher.
Yeah,
in
that's
pass
a good
protection.
Because
there's another, you know, with Blake, the guy, what I worry about is guys who are more powerful.
Yeah.
Because Blake's just kind of a slender rookie still.
Yeah.
So Karlaftis is a big, powerful dude, and that'll be a good matchup to see.
Yeah, that'll be fun to see, for sure.
Hopefully it's a good one to see.
Hopefully,
we'll
for Texans fans, yeah. But I think it's a key matchup in this game. You're absolutely
yeah.
right. Karlaftis going against a rookie right tackle, that can wreck the game as well. The last can before we get to the prediction, Lady Luck. Lady Luck has been riding on the shoulders of the Kansas City Chiefs all season long. They're a very good football team, obviously. But it's been all, they're 13-1, and other than the Browns game last week, it's all one score games.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are games that you go, okay, well, it's Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and they're just doing things at the end of games. And then there's games where the Raiders are snapping the ball off of Aiden O'Connell's face in field goal range late in the game. There's field goals that are bouncing off of uprights but going in. Stuff like that. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the Chiefs' ability to win close games.
Guys, understand situational football, right? Play smart, have great awareness in those situations. Where KC has won a lot is, you know, they take advantage of miscues on the other side of the ball, whether it's offense, defense, or even special teams. Like, you just have to be on the details longer. And that's where they've got a lot of people. They outlast people mentally, right? And not so much physically, but it's mentally. They're mentally stronger than the teams that they're going against, and they find a way in the fourth quarter to win games. Quarterback makes a play, you know, Kelsey makes a play, somebody's going to make a play, and it's not something you teach. Just, I think it's just guys just understanding what's in front of them, and they know how to make the plays.
It's going to be hard for me to be angry after this game, I think, just looking ahead, Seth, even if the Texans lose, say, in a close game. The only things that are going to make me angry after this game are if the Texans get blown out, I'll be angry. Like, embarrassing, you know, like, if they do something at the end of the game, like make a mistake or something that they've done poorly all year, cost the team, like they show no improvement. Or if the Chiefs win because the football gods decide that they need yet another one-score game at the end of the game that they have no business winning.
I'll tell you what, though. This is what people wouldn't realize, and understandably so, but the Texans and the Chiefs are so weirdly similar in so many ways. For one, the Chiefs have scored one more point than the Texans' offense. Two, their quarterback that they love has thrown way more interceptions than you're expecting to see from him. Hasn't been the same guy. He's been middle of the pack offensively. But three, you look at the game last week. The Chiefs took the ball away from the Browns six times. The Chiefs scored 21 points
right,
off of that.
Right.
There were only 8 minutes left in the game when Mahomes got injured.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, there was a, you know, they slowed down after, and they were still passing the ball. Like, even with that lead, that 21-0 lead or whatever it was, like, that six turnovers, and that's what they turned it into. It's just as frustrating there. It's just that I think for Chiefs fans, they feel like, ah, we've seen this before. They'll be a different team when they hit the playoffs.
Yep.
They've got that. They can sit on that pedestal.
Yeah.
The same way we did with the Astros.
They flipped the switch before, man. Yeah. They did it last year. My prediction, Chiefs 20, Texans 19. Why would I stray away from, if I'm trying to be right, why would I stray away from what the Chiefs have done all year, which is low scoring, close games that they end up winning but not covering the 3.5-point spread?
Yeah, they've scored 21 or fewer points in 5 of their last 6 games, I believe.
Yes.
I mean, it's not the same Chiefs team right now.
20-19, yeah. Chiefs is my prediction. And
it would be if the Chiefs score 30. This is where we are. Like, if the Chiefs score 30, I'm going to be pissed.
That would piss me off, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, what would make us angry about this game? That would,
because I'm leaning on the defense. The defense has to carry us.
It would make me angry. It would also scare the hell out of me, because you're right. Like, a playoff run for the Texans is only coming, in all likelihood, on the back of the defense. Them giving up 30 to this version of the Chiefs offense, troublesome, if that were to happen. All right, injury news for the Texans we'll get to. We had Thursday Night Football last night, and the Rockets get a big win as well. We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to it. Headlines, Texans Chiefs. Game is tomorrow at noon. You can hear it on Sports Radio 610 right here. At 9 a.m. Texans Countdown, Clint Sterner and I will have you for post-game show following the game. Injury news, these Texans will be out for the game on Saturday, the game tomorrow. John Mechie, shoulder injury. Foley Fatakasi, he has, I believe, a foot or an ankle. He left the game against the Dolphins this past Sunday. Juice Scruggs still dealing with a foot. Cade Stover still recovering from his appendectomy from last weekend. So those guys will be out. The most concerning thing is that Christian Harris popped up on the injury report in a game where you're still dealing with no Azeez Al-Shaair.
Yeah.
He's serving the second game of his 3-game suspension. Christian Harris pops up on the injury report with an ankle injury. Questionable yesterday.
And, man, Christian Harris played way more snaps than I thought he was going to. He played 82% of the snaps. Looked very, very fast. Made some really nice plays. And he's somebody I really want out there because of everything we've talked about with Pat Mahomes' ability to extend a play. To have guys who are fast and can go sideline to sideline, who can stay in zone coverage but then come up and make a tackle when Mahomes does decide to run past the line of scrimmage. I just want as much athleticism as possible in the linebacking group. And they've got, you know, Henry Toto'o is a different type of athlete this year. You know, Devin White is usable in certain situations, but Christian Harris being back there, it makes a big difference.
It was so nice, and he looked good. He looked good against the Dolphins,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, no, and...
no rust, really.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess I wouldn't say no rust. I don't think he looked like the best version of himself, but right, he was still a very productive player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, look, he had fresh legs, too. Now it's just a matter of just getting back into football shape. And hopefully, yeah. I'm guessing, because it happened, these practices are not up-tempo at all this time of year and in this situation. So I'm guessing, I would assume it's a minor sprain, and it's just something they have to put on the report.
Right, and I think the thing to keep an eye out for us today would be, look, this is the equivalent of a Saturday before a Sunday game. Usually if a guy's on the injury report and they're listed as questionable and they're not going to play and it's a road game, they don't travel with the team. You know, they leave them behind. So-and-so is not traveling with the team. So I guess that'd be the thing. The Texans are going to be taking off here within the next few hours probably to go to Kansas City for this game. So we just got to hope, fingers crossed, that there's no email that says Christian Harris didn't make the trip. If he makes the trip, I think he's going to play.
I got to bribe somebody at the airport. Some airline worker or something. Somebody can be my source on stuff like this.
We need info.
There used to be slush funds for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or Mark. Bribe somebody, an x-ray operator at the hospital, all that.
Used to be slush funds. Or Mark Berman.
Yeah. Yeah. There used to be a little guy that was somehow everywhere all at once.
There are certain media members that when they retire, when they're not doing their thing anymore, that... You know, certain ones, they just retire, and you're like, oh, good for you. You retired, and I really like you. I'm happy for you. And then there's other ones where people in our line of work feel the void.
Yeah.
Mark Berman served a big purpose for those of us in the content generation business.
Yeah.
All his interviews out at the airport.
Yeah.
All the scoops and everything.
What do you think about that?
I wonder, whatever he's doing in retirement, I bet he's just crushing it. Like, if he's building ships
in a bottle. He's been tweeting a lot in retirement.
But I bet he's like, I bet he's built, if he's, let's say hypothetically he wanted to build ships in bottles. I feel like he's already got
he'd be good at it.
He's got a factory, a production line already.
He's got a kiosk at the mall with a bunch of little ships in the bottles. Yeah, for sure.
What the hell am I, why can I not spit this out? Henry Ford's innovation. The assembly line, thank you.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say the car.
No, the assembly line.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I was about to say the thing he invented, but I know I would get well actually'd on that. And like, actually, Tesla invented that too, Seth. Read something, idiot. But he was an innovator in how well he used it.
Right. We've been getting a lot of texts from people this morning like, hey, guys. Have you seen, and honestly, in the spirit of Mark Berman, who was the master at, when he's at a press conference, hey, so-and-so said this about you. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? We're getting a lot of texts like, hey, guys, did you hear what Charles Omenihu said about the Texans?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Charles Omenihu, former Texan, now current Kansas City Chief, was on a podcast, did an interview. I'm trying like hell to find who the interviewer was. I've been Googling the whole break. I can't find it. I watched the whole interview, Seth. It seems like it was a UT-based kind of conversation. Like the interviewer seemed to have some UT ties. And Charles Omenihu, for those who don't know, went to Texas. The quote that's making the rounds is this one right here.
But at the end of the day, I'm going to make this clear. I don't f*** with this organization at all. And I cannot wait to play them boys. I literally cannot. Yeah, it's definitely going to be some fire with it. Yeah.
Okay, the organization he's talking about is the Houston Texans.
So Menihue, I wonder why would he be upset with the organization more so than Jack Easterby or I go, Nick Caserio was when Nick Caserio.
Caserio's a GM. Well, and always it's the last taste that you had of being there. Yeah, you know, it's what I would tell Menihue if he were amenable to a conversation about this is, hey, man. The team you're going to play is much different than the one that you left here in 2021. You might actually enjoy it here if you were at Houston Texans.
You're going to have this conversation with him before the game, and it's somehow going to take some of the juice out of his fire. He's going to be less hungry for a sack.
Given the opportunity, I would try that and see if I could sell him on that. But no, I think he's going to come in guns a-blazing. But he... It was about an 8 or 10 minute conversation, or at least that's the portion that made it out onto the internet. I watched it. The part that, his bitterness, to your point, stems from the way he feels he was treated during the David Culley year, where he was one of those holdovers from the previous regime. He was a starter at the beginning of 2021, and then by like week four or five, he's inactive and he's not really sure why. And then he wanted to get traded. David Mulligetta client, so Mulligetta requested a trade, and they got him shipped out to San Francisco, and I would say it's worked out pretty well for Charles
Emmanuel. He's only played three games this year so far, and he's played pretty well, but
he's been banged up.
Yeah, so but as far as sometimes you're coming off of injuries, but you haven't been playing football, you've got some fresh legs this time of year.
Yep.
So that's another, you add that to the mix of okay, a guy that can rush inside, outside, when you're worried about guys picking up games on the inside, when you're worried about how Blake Fisher is going to continue to fare as a starter, like Amenihu's name is certainly out there.
Yep.
I'm just going to, I'll see if I can grab him before the game and calm him down a little bit.
Okay. See if you can.
Like, hey, Charles, things are different now.
It's all right.
Hey, look, man. I've got a PowerPoint. Just so sit down for a minute, okay?
Yeah.
And then watch my PowerPoint.
Here's all the moves that they've made since you left the building.
How much I care about you. I'm a Mac guy, but I put up a PowerPoint right. Because I think for this presentation, it's better.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Rockets beat the Pelicans last night, 133-113. Big performances in that game was Jalen Green, 34 points. This was a Jalen Green kind of game, man. Going against a team that's like 6-22. Jalen was an easy pick on Prize Picks last night.
Yeah.
For more than 23 points or whatever it was. He was really good. 13-22 from the field. And this was another game. I mean, we're watching it now. I had it on last night. This is them just mopping a bad team, which I like to see.
Which you like to see, but also they have their best shooting and best 3-point shooting percentages of the year. Like, yeah. So, hey, not. I don't like it when you. I don't like.
Don't waste it on these guys.
No, that's why I'm kind of like, okay, look at baby steps.
Yeah.
If you can do it versus them, all right, cool.
Okay. That's
it's
a
like
good way
when
to
look
at it.
At in it. Football, it's like, all right, the offense is struggling. They go up against a bad defense, but okay, that was a good offensive production.
Yeah.
Let's do more of that.
Yes.
When, you know, so yes, I'll take that.
I will too.
I'll take that.
I will too. No, I just like I just remember that season opener against Charlotte. I'm like, oh, are they going to do this again where they lose to. They lose to, you know, they're just inexplicably losing to really bad team. Yeah. No, man. They mopped the floor with the Pellies last night.
Let me fact check that on myself. Okay. Yes, both of those were the season best, both the shooting and the three-point
field goal percentage and three-point field goal percentage. Yeah, they were really good last night. Thursday Night Football, the Chargers beat the Denver Broncos. Kind of not a must win for the Chargers, but had they lost that game, all of a sudden, all those 6-8 teams, the Bengals, the Dolphins, the Colts are nipping at their heels.
Yeah.
That game last night really created some separation between the wild card teams currently and the teams that are still trying to get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The Broncos and the Chargers, both 9-6 now. The teams that are chasing them are all 6-8. Like, this thing could be locked up after the weekend for these guys.
Yeah, this is the seven playoff teams and how
clear.
It all shakes out are very much in play. I don't want to worry too much about what happens in the AFC North or anything else. As long as there's a chance that the Texans would get the 3 seed, that's why I'm playing this weekend. Aside from, I also want to see the offense actually do something at some point versus good teams. But really, I want to keep that 3 seed in play. I want the opportunity for an extra home game because you never know exactly how it'll all work out.
Are we buying the story that an owner of an NFL team used Madden ratings to decide whether or not his team should make a trade? If you haven't heard this story yet, stick around through the break. It is a doozy. We will have that for you coming up.